Good morning. It is Thursday, and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much, as always, for being at the other end of the radio waves, the telephone line, the email machine, the Twitter account, and the many other ways we have to communicate nowadays. 414-1234 is the local telephone number. If long distance, it's 800-926-8809. You can email us, perspectives@wfsu.org, or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. And before we meet our guests, let's hear from somebody else that you need to hear from. Well, that is the legendary early bluesman Blind Lemon Jefferson with Matchbox Blues. Now, he was born back in 1893. He's been called the father of Texas blues, and that song we just heard was recorded in 1927 and was picked by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as one of the top 500 songs that shaped rock and roll. In fact, Carl Perkins would do his own version of that song 7 years before the big hit, which was done by this little group from Liverpool called the Beatles. They did Matchbox and recorded it in 1964 with Ringo on lead vocals. So that song has been around for a long, long time. And we have some gentlemen who have not been around as long, but they certainly have a lot of history when it comes to performing and playing the blues. Because welcome to this special edition of Perspectives as we go into an investigation of the blues with some of its modern-day practitioners and talk about an opportunity to hear these guys play coming up on the 10th of this month, which is a Saturday out at the Monticello Opera House. And let's meet them right now, starting with our good pal Jim Crozier. Jim, good to see you, sir.
Greetings. Glad to be here.
Want to find out a little bit more about your background, but right next to you here we have Mr. C.S. Holt from Mighty Monticello. Good to see you, Steve.
Good to be here, Tom. Thank you.
And joining us on the phone, we have a gentleman by the name of David Cotton, who is on the line. Hey, David.
Good morning.
It is good to have you on, sir. Let's start with you, David. You're going to be part of this upcoming blues review in Mighty Monticello. But for folks who aren't familiar with you and your work, give us a little bit of your musical background, if you would.
Okay. I was with a guitar player named Tinsley Ellis from Atlanta, Georgia. I was in his band for 4 years and traveled around with him. We backed up a man from North Carolina by the name of Nappy Brown, who was known for having written Nighttime is the Right Time. A lot of people have covered over the years, and got to work with those folks for a few years. I've been down here in Florida for a good while and worked with a lot of blues artists down here that are well known in the area. Harmonica player Rock Bottom and guitar player Sarasota Slim, and we had a great blues man down here from Louisiana that's passed away, Deacon Fuller, and that's just a few of the things that I've done in the last few years.
Yeah, I think you also hung out with Clarence Carter for a while there, too, didn't you?
I got to do a recording with him. He produced and he engineered a group that I was with in Atlanta, Georgia. And we spent some time in his studio and recorded a few things. It was that was truly amazing. That was an amazing thing to get to do.
Well, it's going to be exciting to hear you play on the stage of the Opera House here coming up on March 10th. But you'll also be playing with guys like Jim Crozier and C.S. Holt, Mary Everhart, and the incredible John Babbage, a whole host of folks. And Jim, let's get a little bit of background on you, sir, because folks, if they have not been to, you know, Bird's Aphrodisiac Oyster Shack to catch you and some other local folks picking and grinning and having a good time on occasion, they may not be familiar with you and your work. So give us a little bit of your rundown, if you would.
Well, I came to the blues a little bit later. I grew up with playing rock and roll and classical music and then more jazz. And then in the late 90s, Bonnie Edwards was down here for a little while from Maine. I played in her band, and that's when I really learned to love the blues, because I always thought, oh, it's just the three chord stuff, you know. No, it's different all the time. And I've been everybody's bass player for years and years, but as I started into doing more of the singer songwriter thing, I said, well, what do you call this stuff? And I said, okay, well, how about edgy blues and twisted Americana? And so the more I go, I just get deeper in the blues, and I'm still a newcomer, but I love it, and I'm really looking forward to playing with these people that got a lot more blues cred than I do.
Well, we'll see. Yes, again, before we get into the actual upcoming event here, your background. How did you fall into this whole thing?
Well, I grew up in a house full of musicians. My mother recorded a 45, I think about 1970. My stepdad played upright bass in a country band. My grandfather took me to see the Chess Blues Review in 1967. And I just fell in love with the music, the clothes, the whole thing I thought was amazing. And thankfully, I grew into what was a kind of surprising voice as a child. I sing 10, 11 years old, doing Hank Williams and stuff like that. And my introduction to the blues stuck, and that's been my genre of preference ever since.
And what you are pulling off here at the Opera House come March 10th is kind of based roughly on that old Chess Blues Review that you remember from so many years ago?
It is. I actually was suggested by Mike, the director.
Mike Heron.
He said, well, what could we do? We want to do something, and what could we do? And I just casually said, I don't know, old-fashioned blues review would be cool. And it evolved from there, and we wanted to highlight individuals who do their own original music versus cover bands, and that's how we ended up with this group.
Let's join with Joe, who's going to be part of the conversation now on line one. Thanks for hanging on, Joe. Welcome to Perspectives.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, I'm looking forward to the Monticello Blues show. I have a question. I've always wondered the identity of a black blues musician from the late 70s in Tallahassee. He used to play in front of some empty storefronts on Pensacola Street on the north side of the Capitol. He had a wooden guitar, and he was a blind man, and he had a chrome disc on top of the guitar. Did anybody know of that individual and who he might have been? This was in the late 70s.
Late 70s. Okay, that's when we moved here to town. If it's a chrome disc on the guitar, it's probably a National or something.
Resonator.
Resonator, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a resonator guitar.
Does anybody know that individual?
I do not.
I'm
fairly new to the area, so.
Yeah.
But if anyone out there has a recollection of a guy like that who was playing in Tallahassee with resonator guitar, that's the one that has, in some cases, they're chrome metal bodies on those things. They make great slide guitars. They really do. But if anyone recalls that, how about 414-1234? Give us a yell here on Perspectives and let us know. If you are a local musician and you are also an aficionado of the blues, or you just enjoy it, why don't you give us a call and share your experiences and all that, too. Coming up on a break, but I want to ask you, if I could, David Cotton, for those folks who say, oh, and in fact, I have a very good friend who is a phenomenal guitarist, but he says, I never play the blues because it's so limiting. It's just that, one for musicians, 1-4-5 progression, like E, A, B, back to E, that's it. It's so boring, it drives me crazy. What do you say to my buddy?
I would say, musically, it does appear to be simple music. It's from a technical standpoint, it's not difficult for a very accomplished musician to play blues music, but it's very deceptively simple. It's really more about the expression and the emotion that a player can put across and communicate. And it's never really been about technical expertise or virtuoso playing. And I think that maybe that's what people miss, is the power of the emotion and expression that can come through blues music. And that's what grabs me about great blues.
Yeah,
I guess you either get it. Get it or you don't.
You get it or you don't. Yeah, as one person told me once, it's three chords and the truth. We'll be right back on Perspectives. Back on Perspectives, a very special musical edition in anticipation of the All-Star Blues Review coming up at the Monticello Opera House on March 10th, which is a Saturday. And CS, that's going to be from when to when on the 10th?
Program itself starts at 8 and runs to 9:30. From 9:30 until 10:30, we'll have a meet and greet with everyone in the band downstairs. There'll be tables, at least three of the artists of us will have tables with CDs and merchandise and that kind of thing. But it'd be a nice mixer at the end.
And if you're just joining us, folks, we have with us C.S. Holt, also Jim Crozier on the phone with us, David Cotton. John Babbage, the incredible J.B., is also going to be part of that lineup, along with Michael Harrison and Mary Everhart. And that is, so that'll be separately, individually, all kinds of mishmush going on there?
Right. It's a form of songwriter round, but with a full band and Each featured artist will do a couple of songs and then pass it over to the next one. But it's going to be all six of us on stage at one time, supporting each other and doing their individual selections.
Well, to give you a little bit of a heads up on the kind of thing that you can anticipate. Now, this will be a different band than what you're hearing right now, but the singer-songwriter is the focus of this particular one. Let's hear from our own Jim Crozier here, the first song, and this is called Ain't No Use.
Yeah. There you go.
That is Ain't No Use, Jim Crozier. And what was the sociological message you were trying to impart on that song there, Jim?
So much of my material is autobiographical. That one is completely fictional. And I wrote that song back when I lived in Greenwich Village in 1974. But that was John Babbage on the keys, on the piano there, on that particular track there. And that was a live show that we did at the Bradford Real Blues Club for the Pat Ramsey Fest in 2016. So I really loved that, the opportunity to play with those people. And but what was the message? It's just a blues. Yeah, you gone away. You ain't no use to me now. You ain't here. You.
Well, and with a shout out also to the Bradfordville Blues Club celebrating 16 years, I understand. They're going to have a whole bunch of performances coming up throughout the month of March as well. Not to take away anything from what's happening at the Opera House, but we are going to be a seething hotbed of blues in this neck of the woods here for about the next 30 days or so, guys. So that's going to be pretty incredible.
Fine with me.
Well, I'll tell you, there is a lot of other stuff that we can talk about here as far as how this form of music evolved. And can I ask you, Mr. Cotton, your take on that? I remember the old, hey, came up from the cotton fields of Mississippi and to the south side of Chicago and all these other places, and evolved from field hollers to a really pretty well-established form of music. How do you read the history of the blues?
Well, it's a very important movement in American music. You know, blues has gotten into everything now. You know, there's blues in country music. You know, there's blues in rock and roll. There's blues... you know, the form, the three-chord form, you hear it everywhere, you know, and it's been around for so long that it's just, you just can't deny it. And it came from a place that was totally uniquely American, you know. It couldn't have come from anywhere but the situations that it came out of, you know, in the South, with the the expression of the black folks that were, you know, living the way they had to live, and it's come a long way, and you know, now it's, you got people like B.B. King that were was a superstar of the blues. It's, you know, known all around the world. So it's a truly amazing thing that's developed the way it has.
Well, C.S., when you take that elemental form and you start building on it, can we take the blues any further than it's already been? Because so many folks are going back to the old Blind Lemon Jefferson or Bill Brunsey or, you know, those kinds of things. But then you have modern interpreters of it. And so how do you see that playing out moving forward? Is there room for the blues to grow beyond maybe what it has been?
Well, I think there's there are so many different forms within the genre that it's – I can't imagine that there won't be progressive changes, but I think the basic three-chord form is going to remain. I mean, my own personal writing, I'll throw a minor third in, something like that, in a chorus or bridge, but I do pretty much the three-chord thing. It's not about the structure, it's about the lyrics and the emotion, just like Dave said, and I think that the raw emotion of it is what I grab onto, and that's most of the things that I write for myself to perform myself, It's about relationship. It's about life. And you hang these seminal words onto a very, very simple progression. But as Dave said, it's misleading. Albert Collins, great Texas blues man, master of the Telecaster, he said not long before he died that people misunderstand the blues. They think it's easy because it's such a simple progression. It's not easy. It's not simple. It's very complex within the ensemble. It's call and response. It's all of this stuff happening that is, as Dave said, it's deceptively difficult. Playing the three chords is not what it's about. It's about the emotion. And I think it'll always progress. It's the, as Jim said, it's the base for everything.
Who's your favorite blues artist, or do you have several?
Well, I have several, actually. I think my favorite, the biggest influence is Freddie King. My biggest influence was Freddie King. At a very young age, I could sing all of it. And he's probably my favorite, but it's broader than that. Delbert McClinton is one of my very favorite artists. I've had the privilege of opening for Taj Mahal, for the Thunderbirds, and a bunch of others, Clarence Carter, and you know, everybody's got their own particular take on that simple three chord progression.
And everyone looks at either the guitar, certainly,
mm-hmm.
or in the case of someone like JB, keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
Black Church has had some of the best B3 organ music the world has ever heard, which also found its way into the blues. But Jim Crozier, if I can ask you, when it comes to the rhythmic aspects, the bass, the drums, you being a bass player here, what's that like in the context of the blues? Because, again, you've got that 1-4-5 thing going all the time.
The simplicity of the arithmetic is what enables all the other complexity to stack on top of it, because you don't have to... You know, it's not you don't have to worry about what the chart says, because you know the chart's very simple. I've been giving some lessons to a young person in the arts mentoring program in the school system, and you know the first thing I did was write down a 12-bar blues for him, and we're going to be working on that all semester. In fact, if I stay with him for a couple more years, we're just going to be building on that, along with a lot of other arithmetic and music theory around it. But you know, that basic form being so fundamental to American music, and as the bass player, of course, I'm very much concerned with making sure the groove is happening, and I'm the driver.
The groove, the pulse, the pocket. Mm-hmm. That foundation's got to be there.
Me and the drummer just got to, we just got to work together, and everybody else is just riding.
What did you think of a gentleman by the name of Jamerson?
He certainly had his unique take on the thing. For one thing, he played with a pick with flat wound strings. Which is quite unusual, but I grew up listening to Clear Channel Radio across Lake Erie from CKLW, the Motor City, Windsor, Ontario, but right across the river from Detroit, and of course, in the middle of the Motown upbringing, and Jamerson was the bass player on essentially all of that stuff. But those were jazz cats. They were out playing jazz whenever they weren't in the studio playing rhythm and blues. And Jamerson was, what an influence. I didn't know all these facts about him then. I mean, I just learned that stuff, over the many years since. But, you know, when I was in my teens and listening to late night radio under the covers when I was supposed to be sleeping, that was what I heard with James Jamerson.
What would we have done without those transistor radios? Huh?
I had one of those tube radios out there.
Kind of hard to bring that one into the bed, you know, it gets kind of hot there. David Cotton is a sax guitar player and a vocalist. Who do you count as your major influences in your music?
Well, that's a tough one. There's so many. But the Allman Brothers, seeing the Allman Brothers, as a teenager in Macon, Georgia, before they were very well known, that made a big impression on me. And then living in Memphis, Tennessee, and hearing all that great soul music, and you could go down the Bill Street. At the time, I was living there, and going to high school, and you'd see these old black men playing out on the street. They came up out of the Mississippi Delta, you know, playing with their Harmony Sears Roebuck guitars in their overalls, I don't even know who some of those guys were. You know, they were just unknown blues men that I remember seeing as a young person, and that's a very hard question. There are just many, many of them. I love the music of Skip James. I love the music of Albert King, the old country blues men, the electric blues men that came later. It's a tough question, but I like a lot of them.
And see, who said most musicians are really, really good thieves and sponges? They kind of steal and absorb everything they can from anyone they can, and that's what ultimately forms the basis of what they are as players. So we have a, let's see, we'll do this on the other side of the break. Don't want to push you right into it here, but we have some other people to talk about who are not part of this discussion today, like Michael Harrison. Someone want to talk about Michael? Go ahead, CS.
I met Michael Harrison doing a trio gig in Moultrie, Georgia. And he was there with a friend of his, really fine keyboard player. And Michael stopped by and introduced himself, and we talked and talked, and he said, you know, we need to get together. And you get that a lot. And he actually followed up. And since that time, we've done a bunch of gigs together. Really great guy, giving guy, and one of the best drummers I have ever had the privilege of playing with. Truly superb drummer. I always say you can tell the good drummers from the not-so-good drummers, because the really good ones, it's all hands and wrists. It's not a whole lot of beating the drums. He's just a really fine player and all-around great guy.
Yeah, no time to those arms friends. Get above chest level.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's all wrists and hands and just effortless.
And feel, like you were saying, Jim Crozier, you got to build that pocket and lock it in, and everyone else just sort of skates on top of that real solid foundation that you set up there for the other players to do.
Gotta be.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick time out, then we're going to be back with another cut of music here on our very special edition of Perspectives in the anticipation of the March 10th All-Star Blues Review at the Monticello Opera House. Our guests here with us being Jim Crozier and C.S. Holt and David Cotton, and they'll be joined by John J.B. Babbage, Michael Harrison, and the lady we'll hear from momentarily, Mary Everhart, right here on Perspectives. You want to join the conversation? Love to have you. 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809. If you want to give us a call from long distance, we'll be right back. are back on Perspectives talking about blues music. And here's another example of it from a gal who originally hails from Florida's capital city, Mary Everhart. This is called Need You Right Now. Oh, it's hanging up. We'll catch that in just a little bit. But let's talk about her before we hear from her, if that's okay, C.S. Holt. Mary Everhart, tell me more about her.
Mary, very nice lady. She writes her own music, does almost exclusively original music. Great band, very guitar-oriented band. And took a little convincing on my part that to make her comfortable with the idea of what we were going to do. She said she'd be fine with it as long as we didn't make her songs into country music. She would be fine. She's a two-time inductee into the Florida Blues Hall of Fame. And as with all of the other people that are involved in this, I felt very lucky to have her a part of it. And she'll be it'll be a great chance to listen to some really good music. She's a fine guitar player, and her voice is in the vein of Coco Taylor or somebody like that.
Well, with that by way of introduction, let's hear from her right now. Mary Everhart, again, this is called Need You Right Now.
Sometimes it's more than I can stand. I need you now, 'cause you're my man. I need you right now. I need you right now.
Little Tallahassee gal there, Mary Everhart, and Need You Right Now. Sort of a Bonnie Raitt type thing called Love Shuffle going down there, guys. That has a nice feel to that, and stinging guitar work there, too. Yeah. David Kahn, let me ask you, how come there aren't more women in blues? It's been kind of a male-dominated genre since the very beginning, but you hear someone like Mary or Bonnie or any number of other phenomenal blues women out there, and you think, wow, you know, these folks, you know, ought to be right up there with everyone else.
Well, I think there are a lot of women in the blues, but you just kind of have to seek them out. You have to look for them. It's not just the blues, but just about any genre, you know. There's a lot of great female performers and writers and musicians, instrumentalists, but you just kind of have to look for them. They're not always in the mainstream or well promoted. You know, there was a woman in the 40s and 50s named Billy Tipton. She was an excellent jazz piano player, but in the 40s and 50s, she passed herself off as a man so she could get work. And she continued to do that. She got so successful performing as a man and having people think that she was a man, a jazz pianist, that she continued to do that for the rest of her career. So that tells you a lot right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, and of course, a lot of the places where you would normally find blues music back in the day, some of the juke joints and the dives and everything else, respectable ladies did not go to those kinds of places now.
They were rough.
No kidding. You were talking about the modern day practitioners. I'm thinking Susan Tedeschi, of the Tedeschi Trucks Band. They're coming here for Word of South, and she is a monster, an absolute. I mean, her husband's a pretty good picker too, but she is killer on that on that guitar.
But there, as Dave said, if you look. There's Samantha Fish, Debbie Davies, Marsha Ball, goes on and on. They're out there. You just kind of have to look a little harder.
Etta James is one of my favorite blues musicians of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of blues to like Nina Simone. There was just an NPR take on her just the other day my God, you could hear those influences just percolating up through so much we hear today.
She was introduced to me as the High Priestess of Soul.
Well, we don't want to leave you out of this, C.S. Holt. We have one of your cuts, too, composition. This is called When I Found You. And what's that all about before we hear it?
It's about being thankful for someone in your life. It could be a friend. It could be a girlfriend, a wife. It could be anybody, really. But it's about being happy with someone who's made an impression on your life.
Who says the blues is all about misery and despondency and depression? That's for sure. Not true. C.S. Holt, this is called When I Found You.
A letter, special delivery, a list of all the things my baby means to me. Gotta do better, it's the least I can do. Everything changed when I found you. First thing in the letter, it's about my baby's kiss. It's kind of strange, such a little thing could make me feel like this. Gotta do better, it's the least I can do. Everything changed when I found you. And I don't care what some other people say. Found you, it was sure my lucky day. Gotta do better, it's the least I can do. Everything changed when I found you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is C.S. Holt's When I Found You, just an excerpt from that. Yeah, you occasionally listen to Stevie Ray Vaughan, I think, right?
I really respect Stevie Ray's his talent, his skills. I'm much more enamored of Jimmy Vaughan than Stevie Ray. I love Jimmy's take on it. It's less is more. The right one right note in exactly the right spot is all it takes.
Well, that is something else that blues has that maybe a lot of contemporary, more contemporary type music doesn't, is that use of, they call it in art, I think, negative space. You know what not to play, which is just as important as knowing what to play. David Cotton, your thoughts on that?
That's very true. It's just as important what you don't play as what you do play. A lot of space. It's not, like I said earlier, you know, it's not necessarily about being a virtuoso or having a great technical musical ability. It's about that an expression, you know. People call it soul and heart. To me, that's what it's about.
And now you're going to be doing a lot of, I imagine, sax playing when you get up here to Monticello to do the review, right?
That's what I'm planning on.
All righty. What's the secret of blues saxophone? That's another instrument that has contributed so much over the years, particularly in the R&B department, but there are some incredible songs that have sax lead lines that fit into the blues genre too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the sax is it's been in the blues from the beginning.
Well, Well, we want to certainly hear a lot of your stuff when you come up here to the Blues Review. And we want, for the benefit of folks, C.S. Holt, who have just joined us maybe, and hear about this, coming up again on the 10th at the Opera in Monticello.
The doors open at 7. Tickets are available on the Monticello website or at the door. And doors open at 7, cash bar. Show starts at 8.
There we go. Okay, and Donna joins us here on line one. I want to add you to the conversation here, Donna. Thanks for giving us a ring on Perspectives. You still there, Donna?
I am still here. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Carrie Hamby is Tallahassee's very own wonderful blues singer and player. Plays every Monday night at Blue Tavern. So I want to give a shout out to her.
Oh, thank you so much. And I see the guys nodding around here going, we know Carrie. In fact, we were talking about her out in the lobby before the show started. So,
And just great job that Jim does every week at Bird. So thank you. And thank you for your show.
Oh, thank you so much for calling, Donna. Yeah, and we can't forget Mimi Hearn either. She's been around a couple, 3 years in this area here. Just a youngster, just getting started, but she has a lot of a street cred when it comes to a bluesy sound as well.
Yeah.
And anything else, guys? Any other locals you want to give a shout out to? As long as we're on the subject here.
Yeah, I was just sitting here thinking. Yeah, we got to mention Belmont and Jones. Yeah. So yeah, they're Donna calls in and does that. Yeah. I mean, of course, I met the first band I played with in Tallahassee was Bill Wharton's band, and that was before he was the Sauce Boss. But he certainly has left his mark in the scene. And and Pat Ramsey, the late Pat Ramsey, of course, and his son Clyde, who's really leaving his mark in the scene now. I'm glad I got a chance to play with Heather Gillis before she went on to get too famous.
We have had a couple folks come out of this area and have gone on to other things. But any other folks that you can think of, C.S.?
Well, I think there are a bunch of folks that are not well known in the area. I've talked to a few people that they actually tour all over the United States, but they rarely do anything in Tallahassee. I'm not criticizing Tallahassee, but there's not a whole bunch of places for blues players to play in Tallahassee area. I know 4 or 5 years ago the scene was a little more active, but I mean, myself, I go to Lakeland, to DeLand, St. Pete, all over the place to actually have gigs. And there's you guys have named most of the ones that I know, but there are some fine blues musicians right here in the Tallahassee area.
Well, and I think all of these musicians would probably agree with what you just said, that there needs to be some more venues for them to be able to express themselves, to promulgate their art, and also for places like Junction at Monroe, the aforementioned Blue Tavern, the fact that Mike Heron at the Opera House is now trying to make that more of a, going back to the roots, being a musical place again.
Yes.
And getting more folks on the stage to pick and grin and have a good time here. The more we can do to get that going, that's good.
I want to shout out to Daryl Steele. He's been a staple through it all.
Yes, fine guitar player. He really is.
Absolutely fine guitar player, and always love to hear him kick in. I think he's got a new CD coming out, if I'm not mistaken. Daryl, if you're listening, we got to get you up here, sir, right after session is over, and we'll go ahead and do a little review of that if you would like to. David Cotton, any final thoughts here in the few seconds we got left, sir? I think David is, we will give his thoughts on stage coming up on
yes,
the 10th at the Monticello Opera House for the All-Star Blues Review. C.S. Hall, Jim Crozier. And again, David, thank you so much for being part of the action today on Perspectives. And thank you to you folks for listening and for calling in and being part of the action. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. And we had Evan Rossi doing the board thing and Lydell Rawls on the phones and the email. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Coming up next week, we're going to be having another great discussion, and I hope you can join us then right here on Perspectives.
Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.